In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. If you're watching on the stream, you see that my good buddy JC Corcoran is in with us. Welcome back.
Hey, Jim Peterick right there from 38 Special, Chicago boy.
Yeah.
I just came from Chicago a couple of days ago, and he told me a great story. I had him on the air maybe 2 years ago. And I have to tell the whole story some other time. But Sylvester Stallone left a message on his answering machine wanting him to do the Eye of the Tiger thing. They didn't know it at the time that it was going to be Eye of the Tiger. And Peter never called him back because he thought it was one of the guys in the band just screwing around with him.
Oh, no.
That's great.
And finally, somebody said, maybe you should, his wife actually said, maybe you should call that number back. And it's like, it's pretty funny message you got there. You know? So that's how the whole Eye of the Tiger thing came about.
Jeff Carlisi, the lead guitarist, is a dear friend of mine. And he came in town one time and we went to Killer Vintage over in Jameson. And me and Jimmy and Dave Cowles and Greg Hull played 38 Special with him upstairs.
Oh, God.
How great is that?
Jimmy was doing the Real Men of Genius thing
with
Pete Stacker, and they came into the studio one morning and did a live Real Men of Genius in the studio with us. It was unbelievable. Jimmy wasn't very appreciative. It's 7:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
You're the rock singer who's usually getting home about that time, and now you're asking him to sing a cappella, but it worked out okay.
Man, just hearing your voice in the radio takes me back. 1984... Probably
might have been 1884. I'm not really sure.
And I was on a landscaping crew, and they're like, "Have you heard this guy?" I'm like, "No." And like half an hour in, I'm like, "How did you get away with this stuff? I don't even know."
By the same token, you know, I worked here, 32 years ago?
Yeah.
And if I had talked about peeing on the toilet seat.
Yeah. Boogers.
The guy who was running the place at the time, who was, let's just say, wound a little tight.
Yeah.
He just would have thrown me out the window.
Yeah.
Practically did anyhow.
Yeah, Mr. Highland's not even near his grave anymore. I mean, he's spun so much, so. Yeah.
I had Rodney, and it was unpleasant.
Yeah.
But you
I remember that, though. Yeah. I remember it all. I remember all your battles. Like, Artie, right?
I'm glad somebody does.
It was great.
I'm done with all that. You know, I'm tired of people being mad at me. And so, you know, I just want to do what I do, and people either like it or don't like it. And, you know, the McKenna family was nice enough to ask me to MC this event on Saturday, this Celebration of Life, 2-7. They're closing down Mackland at Devonshire. And, you know, it's supposed to be sunny, about 84 degrees. We've got 7 restaurants and 2 bands and a DJ and me. And we're going to go out there, and it is going to be a celebration of life. How well did you guys know him?
Very well.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Very well. Yeah. Yeah. We all had our different relationships with him. Like
we were on the air on 9/11 together.
Oh, wow.
Karen
wow.
Kelly, me, and Brian.
Yeah.
And so I was sort of chained to the, you know, the quote, anchor desk. And they were the ones running out to the AP machine, Associated Press.
Mm-hmm.
We had the ticker thing at that time. And coming in and giving me the constant updates and everything. I couldn't have done what I did that day without Karen Kelly, who was in management here for a while, and Brian McKenna. They did such a great job. And when you go through something like that together, we were on the air 8.5 hours,
yeah.
8.5 hours straight. And you do that together, you are bonded for life,
yeah.
for life.
Totally.
So
no, I knew Brian so very well. And like we're watching the stream right here, and he was on it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say something and I would respond to him and he would give the cry emoji and he was just the best. And before you walked in the door, I was thinking about kind of what to say. And we're all individuals, and anyone who passes away, people are going to laud them. And oh my gosh, he was the greatest of this. He was the greatest of that. And then you have like the McKinnis of the world who truly are special.
Yeah, really different guy. He never met a stranger. He was so kind to people. And for all of the publicity that he got for the stuff that was front and center, it was the tip of the iceberg. He was doing all sorts of stuff. And frankly, doing the stuff that a lot of other people don't want to do, even mm-hmm. who are charitable in nature. You know, kids who were developmentally disadvantaged and disabled and stuff like that. He's going to their prom and dancing with these kids who, you know, who really are behind the eight ball. And, you know, nobody really does a lot of that stuff. And he did it, and he did it without publicity, wasn't under a spotlight, wasn't on camera. He just wanted to do that stuff.
Yeah.
That's the way he was. And this is why I think if we get sunny in 84 degrees, which is what Dave is calling for right now. And isn't it great, by the way, to just be able to say, like if I say, well, I can say Wheels, and everybody knows it's him. But if I say Dave around here, everybody just assumes it's Dave Murray.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. You know, and it's too bad for you, by
yeah.
the way. But
no, it's true.
You know,
he's just known as Glover, though.
Yeah, that's true. You can do that, too.
No, it's so, do you know this story about how I met Dave earlier in life?
Dave Murray?
See, you'll love this. So I was telling him the story. I said, Dave, when I was about 10 or 12, we had this group of weather students come to our local grade school.
Did Dave inappropriately touch you in a weather camp or something?
Not inappropriately. It led to many things later in my life.
Very appropriately.
But they had these giant weather balloons, and I said, I asked a guy if I could have one, and he gave it to me, and there's this long pause, and he goes, that was me. He said,
wow.
I remember being there at the South Roxana grade school, and a kid asked me for a weather balloon, and we only had like five. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
I'm like 10 years old meeting Dave Murray, who ends up being on my show for 25
Wheels,
years.
When did you start getting interested in this business?
I studied in college, so yeah. So I went to broadcasting school. I mean, broadcast journalism.
You weren't one of these kids at like years old?
No,
he was going to go pro.
Sports talk radio didn't exist when I was a kid.
That's true.
So I didn't think about talk radio. I was thinking about either playing or broadcasting baseball, right? Like I grew up in Detroit, so I grew up on guys like Ernie Harwell.
Sure.
And listening to Jack Buck after the Tigers games ended because I could get KMOX in Detroit. So the later games, I could just flip over and I would hear Jack calling those games. So, I mean, all the Whitey Ball era, I was listening to those games late at night.
That press box, by the way, at Tiger Stadium was
the
so weird. The way that place was built, that press box, you were practically sitting above the catcher. It was so weird. People think
the upper deck was almost flush with the lower deck in most of the stadium.
Yeah. People think that Wrigley Field is intimate. Rachel, when did you start really getting interested in doing this for a living?
You know, I kind of fell into it in college. They just kind of like stuck me in the radio program. I guess kind of pushed. And
if you weren't doing this, what do you think you'd be doing?
That's such a good question. I honestly don't know.
Wheels, if you weren't in this business,
I'd be coaching full time somewhere somehow. Yeah,
Dave,
serving, but we'd be waiting at Bruce Chris or Capitol Grill. I'm not even kidding. I'm not going to get my license back. You know, I let that lapse.
Does it ever feel like, you know, all of that, you know, law school is not exactly just a stroll in the park, and you did all that and you're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
Do you ever look back at that and go, wow?
No, I don't, but my daughter's looking at law school now, and she's going to be doing an internship this summer, and and everyone asked me, like, why would you let her do? Well, I just had a bad experience. You know, mine was just different from other people. I see my friends who are lawyers now with little gray around the temples, and they're wearing suits. They look like grown-ups. And They did fine.
Tell that story about, you know, I looked in the phone book for a law firm. Schwartz, 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 and Schwartz. Called the number. I'd like to talk to Mr. Schwartz. I'm sorry, he's on vacation. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Okay, let me talk to Mr. Schwartz. Sorry, he's out to lunch. Let me talk to Mr. Schwartz. Sorry, he called in sick today. Let me talk to Mr. Schwartz. Speaking. People aren't exactly knocking themselves out in the law firm.
So how about you? Was this like a lifelong, as a kid?
What would I be doing? I'd probably be doing 8 to 10 at a federal prison. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. This is the only skill I have, and even that's debatable. But
did you get into it? I don't know that story.
Oh, you know, I knew at birth. You know, I just, when I was 5 years old, I had an uncle who played with the Chicago Cubs.
You were pretty serious about baseball as well.
Yeah. 58 to 64, my uncle Don Elston, relief pitcher. And he's the guy, by the way, on whom the modern day save rule is based. And that's a long story involving the Chicago papers and everything like that. But I wanted to meet the broadcasters. So I would ask my Uncle Don, you know, can I meet Jack Brickhouse, who is the big, he was the equivalent of Jack Buck and people like that in Chicago. And I just, you say stupid things when you're a kid. It's like 5 or 6 years old. I'm introduced to Jack Brickhouse, and he was balding. And I just said to him, when I grow up, I want to get a job like yours. I want to get a haircut like yours. And he says to me, well, when you grow up, get a job like your father and get a haircut like your father. But I knew I was going to be doing this from 5 or 6 years old.
Wow. What was your first big break?
My first big break.
Was it pre-KC?
Wow. Oh, God, yeah. I was in the, well, you know, I was in the business for 10 years. I moved 10 times in 10 years.
I didn't know that.
Before I got to St. Louis. I worked in Fort Wayne, Lansing, Michigan, Grand Rapids, Flint, Omaha, Fort Wayne, you know, places like that. 10 times in 10 years before I ever got to St. Louis.
Were you doing the same kind of thing?
Yes and no, because when you're in the small towns, the stuff I do doesn't exactly go over, shall we say. Yeah. And so I got fired a lot, and it was just part of the deal. I knew that was going to happen, but I knew from having, I had done so much interviewing of the big Chicago broadcasters and programmers that by the time I got to college, they were trying to teach me stuff I already knew because I had really made it a point to go talk to the big stations, the big guys, and they were all very nice to me, you know, and you learn stuff. So, you know, and then you try to do what is state-of-the-art. It's not unlike, and I don't mean to cause a big stink here, but it's not unlike what happened here 32 years ago. Because when they hired me and they put me on the air, I assumed they wanted me to do what I do. And I did what I do, and it just hit the fan. And it was like, well, then why did you hire me? But especially back in those days, I don't know if you ran into this two wheels early on in your career, but a lot of times you get hired by somebody, you know, you always were trying to get to a bigger market for more money. And you would do that, and you were really, really successful in Fort Wayne. And so they would hire you in Grand Rapids. And now you'd come in, and the first thing they would do is they start trying to change you, change everything you did. And it was like, well, but see, that's not the way I got here. Dead, you know, you can't win.
I didn't get any instruction. I mean, honestly,
none.
Yeah, no, I knew you back then. I mean, Jeff Allen was a great boss. He treated me really well, but he never told me anything. And he said, he's like, you either got something or you don't, and it's too late for me to hone it. So I just kind of did what I did, and you were very kind to me. I've said that to you before off the air, but let me say it.
You know, and my response to that is I'm nice to everybody until or unless they give me some reason not to be, you know. But I know that, you know, my reputation precedes me and everything like that. And most of it is utter nonsense, right down to the idea, oh, you've been fired. You know when I was fired? I was fired in the small towns leading up to St. Louis. I've been fired 4 times in 40 years. That's not that bad because most of the time contracts were up, there were format changes, stations wanted to go in different directions, and that's why I left. Fired 4 times in 40 years, I don't think it's that bad. And I rarely ran into somebody who could really teach me very much. But the ones that did, I really appreciated it. For the most part, still in touch with them today. To sort of, I don't know, express that appreciation over a long period of time.
Who would have been your main mentor or example of what you wanted to do.
Oh, there were guys in Chicago. There were two guys.
Boy, weren't there.
Larry Lujack and Bob Surratt. Bob Surratt. Mm. They were they were completely opposite people. Larry Lujack was the brash.
Yep.
Really.
Bob's the straight arrow.
Yeah, yeah. And Bob was the nice guy, everybody's friend, everything like that. And for a long time, it was difficult for me because I was vacillating all the time. Do I want to be like this guy or do I want to be like this guy? But I will tell you, there was a seminal moment in Omaha, Nebraska in 1981 on a Saturday afternoon. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I said, oh my God, it's just beautiful out today. This is 6 weekends in a row here in Omaha where we've had sunshine and blue skies. It's just great. I mean, go out and enjoy the day. And the phone rang. It was a listener. WOW, hi. Johnny Carson's old station. WOW, hi. And the guy swore at me saying, I'm a farmer and we need effing rain. And he hung up on me. And it was at that moment that I realized, no matter what you do, what you say, or how you say it, somebody's going to have a problem with it. And so you might as well just do what you want. And I think that was the turning point in my whole career.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Omaha. Who knew?
Wait, man, you got that down like Peyton Manning. Omaha!
So, JC's here promoting what's going on for Brian McKenna this weekend. It's Saturday from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Macklin in Devonshire.
We're expecting bagpipes coming out as a part of it. It's going to be a big deal right at 2 o'clock. Yeah.
Oh, I'll be there early if you need any help with anything.
I think probably a good idea anyhow because I don't know what the parking situation is going to be. And that could be the toughest part of this whole thing. But if you can find a parking space, get there early and don't miss this thing at 2 o'clock.
Excellent. Okay, buddy. Thank you. Always good to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day, whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to pop! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature dad hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, it's Celebrity Day today on the DGS. Coming up at 2:30, we have my buddy Jeff Fitter from Super Smokers, and he's bringing in my pal Reed Lowe from the Blues. You know Reed?
I love Reed, yeah. So when the Blues won the Stanley Cup, and I had to do the Blue Mohawk.
Yeah.
Reed and I were regulars on the same station. I was hosting, and he was obviously in and out all the time. He owned, I don't think he does anymore, but he owned a salon and hair spa, like a spa and hair salon.
Remember that?
And we did the Blue Mohawk at his place. Very and he cool. was there guiding it. And
Reed's the best,
dude. What a nice guy.
Yeah. Big Especially for a guy that can just kick the crap out of
you. You know, it's true, though. Like, all those hockey tough guys, they're also, like, off the ice, the nicest guys in the world.
He is 37 feet tall. I forgot about that when I went and got him from the front. I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you
he's
are.
A big boy.
I was hanging out one time with Todd Ewan. And I said, what do you like about fighting? And he stopped and he looked off, kind of a 1,000-yard stare, and he said, getting hit. And it's one of the scariest things a man has ever said to me.
I like the
He's
pain.
Like, I like when someone catches me right in the jaw.
I like the pain. I know some of those guys didn't really like fighting, but at that time it was a thing and it was needed. And if you were good at it, then you were going
to
do it.
Reed has a great story. Maybe I'll have him tell an expanded version of it. But when he was in juniors, he scored 4 goals in front of hockey scouts and had 3 fights. And afterwards, they came to him and said, do you think you can do that every night? And he said, I don't think I can score 4 goals a night. And they said, no, do you think you can do, can you fight like that? And that's how he got into the NHL.
For a long time, really up until the last 15, 20 years, that was a real job.
Oh, sure.
I mean, it was an important job. It wasn't just nonsense. And I know people don't like that era, or some people don't like that era. There was a sense to what they were there for.
It's sort of like going back to the beginning of the show and talking about people being mean to other people.
Right.
And in the olden days, you'd get popped in the nose for it, and people were a little more polite.
Right.
And that's the way the NHL was 20 years ago.
That's why people laid off your star players.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't lay off the star players, guys like Reed and Kelly Chase and Todd Ewan and Bob Prover, those guys are going to find you. Yeah, they'll find you, and then you got to stand up to them.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Like I said, it is Celebrity Day. We had Corcoran on a couple segments ago. Now we have my buddy Jeff Fitter, who is the barbecue king of St. Louis, and Reed Lowe from the Blues. Two good friends of mine. I haven't seen you in forever, man. It's so good to see you. You're looking good.
You too, man. It's so good to see you too. And I've never been in studio. I always talked on, so it's good to finally actually come in and hang out with you and get to stare at that beautiful bald head of yours.
Nice. It's nice, isn't it? I don't like to brag about it, but it's a good dome.
God only made a few perfect heads. The rest he put hair on.
That's right. Yeah, it's good. That's right. Yeah, I didn't get hair until I was in about 4th grade. I started losing it in 7th grade. So 6th grade was big for me.
Really big.
I had to make hay.
In 6th grade.
That's
okay.
Right.
That's fair.
Out of Maine. I was just in the office with Wheeler, Reed Lowe, and Fitter, who's a mountain of a man, and I'm like, it's time to go talk to Steve about my contract.
I stand next to Reed. I feel like a little kid next to his dad.
Yeah.
He's like 9 feet tall.
I was telling your story about how you got into the NHL, where the scouts were like, can you do that every night? And you're like, score 4 goals a night? No, sir. And he's like, no.
Literally, I was in a tier 2 training camp in Minot, North Dakota, junior hockey, and I fought the 2 toughest guys on the team from the year before and got 4 goals in the same night. And the coach asked me if I could do that again. I said, score 4 goals in the game. He said, no, kick that guy's butt. I said, does it mean I'm going to make the team? He said, absolutely. I said, coach, you point him out. I'll take him out. Let's go. And he literally, that was where I learned how to be a tough guy that year. He was like, all right, I'm going to put you out against number 2. Just go wax him. And I'll tell you, like, I had all of the most pent-up anger you could possibly have, because now my coach has put me out there to do a job, and I didn't have to score a goal. All I had to do was beat somebody up, so I excelled at it quickly.
You were in Minot, North Dakota. By a show of hands, how many people know where Minot, North Dakota is?
It's in North Dakota.
I happen to know because I drove all the way there to buy a smoker once.
Really?
When I first bought Super Smokers. Yeah, it's literally, 30 miles from the Canadian border?
Yeah.
There's nothing there. No wonder you were so doggone mad. They rolled the streets up at 6, I think. So. Yeah.
You were looking to fight people too.
Like, I gotta get out of here, well, whatever it takes.
Let's be real. I came from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, so it's not a whole heck of a lot better.
Were you a fighter off the ice?
Never been in a street fight or bar fight ever in my life.
Wow. That's amazing.
I really don't consider myself a fighter. I was more of a protector, and I actually was picked on in a smaller kid when I was kind of 12, 13, 14, 15, and then I hit stride when I was about 16 years old, and I grew a little bit, and I finally found a way to fit in, and my teammates liked me. There was nobody else wanted to do the job. I was good at it, so I just rode that train as far as I could.
What was your strategy? Like, was it different for every guy?
Well, yeah. At that age, it was just learn how to punch and stay on your feet, you know? And then I tell people the best hockey defense is hockey offense in a fight. If you're punching, he's swinging. One of you is going to get hit. So just hard as fast. My first year, towards the end of the year, I was doing pretty good, beating a lot of guys up. And so they held onto my right hand a lot. So when I went back that summer, I tied a tensor bandage around a heavy bag and I held on with my right hand and I just punch as hard and fast as I could.
There you go.
Twice a day. And so the next year I came back and guys would grab my right. And then the next thing you know, I'd knock them out with my left. And as I started to progress through the next level of junior and then through the minor pros and then got to the Blues, everybody looked at me as a lefty, but I really wasn't. I was a natural righty, but just used my left hand more often.
You guys, I don't think you heard it because you were in the green room, but Todd the Animal and I went down to Asymmetric Solutions once and spent a day shooting guns and hanging out with real heroes. And we're just, you know, shooting the crap. And I said, so what did you like? What's your favorite part about fighting? And he stops and he thinks and he goes, I really like getting hit in the face. And it's the scariest thing a man has ever said to me.
I did not like getting hit in the face.
Clearly you were a lover, not a fighter. So getting hit in the face.
I grappled, I held on, tired him out, and then tried to finish him off in the second half of the fight. I did not like getting punched in the face.
So you weren't a fighter to begin with. Once you had this profession and you'd go to a bar, would drunk guys try to take you on?
Yeah, especially in St. Louis when they first got to know who you are. But I used to just be like, hey, listen, guys, don't tell anybody, but I'm not very tough if I don't have skates on. Why don't I buy you some drinks, you and your buddy some drinks, and you guys can protect me and we can be friends? And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I'd walk them up to the bar. It cost me $500, but I got to go to any bar I wanted to. Yeah. By the time I was a second-year player, every bar I went to, everybody loved me. It was great.
Yeah. Who was the most intimidating guy you fought?
The guy that beat me up the most and I had the most trouble with was Big George LaRocque from the Edmonton Oilers. Oh, yeah. Like, he was just
a mountain
of a human, 6'5", 265 pounds, and he had to work hard to keep the weight off. Like, if he would have ate and trained as hard as he could have, he literally could have been a defensive lineman in the NFL.
Wow.
Like, he was jacked and absolutely shredded, and like, he'd grab a hold of me and I'd just be like, I can't do nothing. Literally, my shoulders are locked, and he's got me, and I felt like I had a school dress on. It was terrible.
You ever feel bad giving a guy such a beating?
No. I don't like fighting and stuff like that off the ice, especially, but you put a pair of hockey skates on me and give me a reason to beat somebody up, and I really actually kind of had to turn. When I was 16 years old and I first started to do it, I almost had to train this part of my brain that I had to be able to flip a switch, because there had to be a part of a game where I had to be able to focus and play, because in my generation, you couldn't be a liability on the ice, right?
Like, right.
The days in the 80s and 90s, half the guys couldn't skate. They just go out and fight.
Just go fight, yeah.
But in my generation, if you were a liability, you weren't going to be in the league. And so I had to be able to like go out there and play. But I also had to be, something goes down or we need a spark, I got to be able to just flip a switch and turn that on. And I had to really practice that. And as you see the pro hockey players, especially the fighters, as we get out of the game, it's hard to learn how to turn that off and on.
Yeah, I bet. If you guys are just tuning in, we're talking to St. Louis Blue Reed Lowe and Jeff Fitter, Barbecue King of St. Louis. So how's your business going? Three restaurants, two food trucks, or the opposite?
The opposite. Two restaurants. Three. We've transitioned to, there's this new phenomenon now in the restaurant industry where they are multiplying brands under one roof. We were early in doing it, but we've transitioned Super Smokers Barbecue plus Cajun and Eureka to Pawpaw's Diner and Super Smokers Barbecue. So we're a diner that serves award-winning barbecue. How can that be bad?
Yeah.
Breakfast all day, and I didn't get fat by accident back in the day. So that's exactly how we got there. But it's been a fun challenge. But you know, it costs are ridiculous. Staffing is hard.
Yeah.
You have to pivot. You have to do something to be able to keep up and stay relevant. So
yeah.
So we've done that. Case and Bucks out in Barnhart, the bar and grill we own. It does great. We have a lot of fun with it. It's a lot of work. I'm working harder for a lot less money than I ever have. But you know what? I get to see my grandkids as often as
good
I want.
For you.
So I ain't
good
mad
for
about
you.
It.
So we're bragging about Reed. Let me brag a little bit about Jeff. So he and I, when I first started cooking barbecue, he took me under his wing. We did a bunch of competitions together, won a bunch of trophies together. But Memphis in May is like it. It's like the Stanley Cup of barbecue. And Jeff was the chief cook winning Memphis in May.
I didn't get to win all of it, but yes, we get to walk the stage and had a lot of fun. It's a ton of fun. I actually kind of miss the days where you and I would just go
right?
out and
go to Hannibal Mode.
I tell that story so many times between ripping off the, well, they're probably not sponsored anymore.
I forgot about that.
Between ripping off the bottom carriage of the RV. And
they gave us a friggin' $500,000 Bon Jovi bus. And all these guys are sleeping in lawn chairs in the back of their F-150, right? And the first thing, they bring it to my house, and they park it, and my house has a little dip at the end of the driveway. I throw that effer in reverse and take off, and it rips all the electronics off. Just
like the undercarriage, like where you tow the...
We hadn't even left yet.
It was... 10 feet.
We would pull up and people would just leave. They're like, well, clearly they're the winners. I couldn't boil a hot dog at that point.
Coming home from that trip, I had to leave early, so he had to drive the RV back. I get a text. I'm playing Pac-Man. Now, yeah. I know he's driving an RV. Playing Pac-Man is probably not the right answer, right? I literally responded, what do you mean? He sends me a picture. He's literally driving down the middle of the road. Nobody can pass either side. And he's like, I'm good. And I'm like, I bet you are.
It was one of the worst days of my life.
Were you scared to death?
Yes. It was an enormous RV
right?
pulling a trailer and a smoker.
Uh-huh.
And it was me and Nick. And Nick's like 10. And he wanted to go to McDonald's.
He's like, nope.
My dumbass pulls into
eating.
The parking lot. And we're like,
no.
Terrible. People are honking. I didn't care. I couldn't have cared less. Just like,
whatever, guys.
It's very intimidating. I had an RV and drove it back and forth to Canada during off seasons. And when you first start to get to know how to drive that thing, like, you really got to hug that middle line else you're rumble stripping and even over top of it and even dropping off. So it takes a hot minute to kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
But I love those things. They're badass.
So you guys are doing Jeffco, Shop with the Cop, Talking Tough with Lozy, coming up June 14th at 6 p.m. at the Arnold Elks Club. Tell us all about it.
So I'll let him talk about all the cool stuff. I don't have any cool fights to break down. I mean, I can maybe break down like how to break down a brisket or ribs. But we're taking care of all the food, and you know, it's going to be a really cool event. But we wanted to showcase more than just the awesome hockey people, hockey players. So we're going to do a bunch of food. We're going to have a meat sweat charcuterie board that we're going to have on the tables. We make our own pit beef, our own ham. We'll have some cheese and stuff on there. We're doing a beef carving station. We got Kuna Food Service. God love those people. They have donated all the dinosaur beef ribs.
They're good people.
So we're gonna put beef ribs on there, and then we're gonna make some Italian beef. So it'll be a station they can just come up and literally get a tortilla shell and a big old hunk of meat. What doesn't say a man's event right?
Nice.
We're gonna have a wing station. I actually brought you some wings from Case and Bucks. We're gonna have our Case and Bucks sauce and then our Tennessee that Chef Jamie and I came up with. More Chef Jamie than I, and then we're gonna do some community. I'm calling it community food. I'm going to have some of my staff come and kind of carry around some jambalaya, street corn, and broccoli salad for basically the sides, so that people can get up, mosey around, talk to people, intermingle with the hockey players, and just have a all around great time. And then, I mean, it's not an event if you don't have dessert, right?
Mm.
So we're bringing our famous bread pudding, we're going to have that for everybody out there, and it's going to be a good time. I you know. I may have a staffing issue in the restaurants, but I have zero staffing issues for this event.
Easy.
I have people lined up to come. I've started questioning them, like asking them. I'm serious. Do you know what hockey is? Yeah. What does the puck ever glow? I've actually had people say no, and I'm like, well, you didn't watch it on TV in the 90s.
You didn't watch Fox, right? Yeah.
It used to glow.
Ridiculous. So it's been a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it, and what a great cause. We've been supporting Jeff. Go Shop with a Cop for, I guess this is the third, going on the third year now since I've bought Case and Bucks. We've always supported the Eureka Shop with a Cop out in Eureka with Super Smokers. So it was great to get involved, and I think it's going to go to a whole new level this year.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being involved with it. I did a auction. I'm very fortunate to work in the charitable organization space and help these guys try and hopefully raise more money either through auction or just through understanding how to have the run a show and how to maximize dollars inside of the charity event itself. And that's really where my expertise is at. And the fun part was these guys saw me in Arnold. I did something with the Arnold Police Department for their legacy fund for their officers. And they came up and they said, do you think you could help us out? And so we sat down. We tried to do it last summer, but it didn't work out. So we're going to do it this summer. It's cool for me to be able to sit across from these guys and talk to them about what it means to be able to take these kids, these underprivileged kids at Christmas time, and basically shut a Walmart down and walk in with all these kids. They're all in uniform. They're making friends with these kids. A lot of times these kids are going to potentially be in a situation later on in life where they're not going to like the police. So at an early age, it gets them an understanding of how to have a friendship and know that these guys are their friend and they don't need to be afraid of them. And sitting down and listening to the captain and the chief talk about of the Festus Police Department talk about this and what it means to them was really something special for me. So they asked if I could build a program around it, and I said, how about some hockey fights? And they said, absolutely. So I've done this a few other times. It's gone off real well. People love it. We've got a big screen in the back, plus we'll have some big screen TVs cool. across the side of the room there at the Elks Club. And you know, we just get up there and I put a couple fights up on there and we talk about what we're doing, break it down, throw some slow-mos in there. I got a video guy that comes out and helps us out. And then we do a little auction and have some fun and just raise some money for a great cause. So it's going to be a great night. And all you got to do is go to my Facebook pages, ReedLow34, or just my ReedLow, my personal page. It's pasted on there at least a few times. I've got all the links and everything you need. Real easy. Click on the one cause link. Go to buy a table. They're $800 or $1,000 a piece, $125 a ticket, which I thought was pretty decent, especially considering the gourmet food that's getting brought to the table. We're just excited to get it going. We're about 2.5 weeks away. We've got some tables sold, but there's still plenty available space. So jump on there and let's rock and roll.
All right. Good job, boys. Love you both.
All right, man. Thank you.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. I almost said the voice of St. Louis. I read it off the sign every time.
Yeah.
There's a sign right behind Rage, and I know what station I'm on, but I still kind of do that. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Good hour.
Yeah, I always had a lot of fun with Reed. We did a lot of stuff together at our old station.
Yeah.
You know, just like on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Yep.
You don't want to fight him.
No.
Like not. I don't mean like in real life, because like he said, he's a nice guy. Most of those guys were like that, but their job was that. You can't even imagine, you know, what's he, 6'5"?
Easy.
So on skates, he's 6'9".
Yeah.
You know, and the reach and trying to even get in there. That's why the only guys that would fight him were the other guys like George LaRocque, who's also a huge guy.
Yeah. Who is considered the best of all time?
That's a great question.
Probert?
He's the guy probably from that era of the modern TV era of fighters. I don't know if you go back too much before that. Like if you go before TV, honestly, I don't know that people know it as well. Maybe Tiger Williams. Back in the day, he was real tough. But that was before that era with Probert and those guys.
Back in the heyday of like the Plagers, were there fighters or did everyone fight?
Probably a little more of that, but both. Yeah, I mean, they were always enforcers. And if I remember right, like the guy I mentioned, like Tiger Williams, he I think led for a long time the history of the league in penalty minutes. That was more like 70s and 80s, if I remember right.
I just love, like, I've spent so much time with Reed and those guys, and I'm like, how does it happen? And he's like, 9 times out of 10, it's just, you look at the guy, and you go, or before the game, do you want to go? You want to go tonight? And then they go out and have steak afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it was part of the deal, right? And some of it was entertainment purposes. Some of it, that's when they started to get rid of it, by the way. When it became more staged. When it became more like, okay, we're just going to do this just to make the crowd excited and all that. But honestly, I'm not sure they should have. I understand why. And if you've seen, there have been some great documentaries about this. What was the one called? Is it Ice Warriors? Mm. Where it's about all of the damage. A lot of these guys committed suicide because they had head problems, CTE. You know, CTE and things. So it's not that it was a good thing because of that, but a lot of these guys were also getting CTE because they were being checked in the boards and falling on the ice and doing all that too.
Yeah.
But there was a job being done there that wasn't just random for entertainment.
Yeah.
Well, most of it. I mean, later on it became that.
Yeah.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.